Do you know what it will entice you to clean? If your house smells like a beach afterward and it doesn't smell like, you know, cleaning products. Well, enter Clorox. They can transform your space into a tropical getaway by upgrading your cleaning routine with coconut-scented Clorox Scentiva. It smells like coconut, it cleans like Clorox, and it feels like inspiration. With a refreshing scent that will leave your home clean and fresh, elevating any room into an oasis. Now you can express your style and get shiny clean. Get Clorox Scentiva at a nearby retail store, also available in grapefruit or lavender scents. This is Ashley Iaconetti from the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous podcast. Tennessee just sounds perfect. Whether that's live music, the crack of a campfire, or kids laughing on an adventure. To start planning your trip, visit tnvacation.com. Tennessee sounds perfect.
Ashley, is it true that some contestants have cashed in their 401k to afford a new wardrobe for The Bachelor?
I mean, you do need a lot of ball gowns when you think about it, Ben. Where did you hear this?
On Smart Money Happy Hour. It's a podcast where two money experts, Rachel Cruz and George Camel, talk totally unfiltered about life, pop culture, and how to afford it all with 90s nostalgia and reality TV fandom mixed in, of course.
Ooh, you do not have to say more to get me into this. To check it out, you can search Smart Money Happy Hour and listen wherever you get your podcasts. All right, ladies, let's be real. Who here actually enjoys shaving their legs? Yeah, absolutely no one. I know this. Get this, Nair. Yes, Nair, the OG, has leveled up. They've got these new sensational shower creams and body creams that smell absolutely amazing. I know this is not the smell that you're thinking of from the 90s when your mom first pulled this out for you. These smells will light up your bathroom, honestly. They'll make your shower experience better.
It smells like a spa, actually. Oh, yeah.
And how do you know this?
Well, I mean, Nair's in the household. So anytime Nair's used, it smells like a spa.
You probably don't even know what it does.
It takes hair away.
It works in as little as 3 minutes. You don't have to bother with nicks, cuts, shaves. And the smooth lasts so much longer than shaving. You're also not going to have to deal with any of those shave bumps or anything like that, because the bumps are just as annoying as the nicks, right? Nair's new sensational shower and body creams are free of all the nasty chemicals like phthalates and sulfates. So you can feel good about what you're putting on your skin, and you can have a little bit of a me time moment with Nair, the number one hair removal brand. Smell for yourself, and as Ben smelled for himself, and he likes it. It's Ben approved. Try the reformulated Nair body and shower creams, available at retailers nationwide and online.
This is the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous podcast with iHeartRadio.
Hey guys, welcome to the Almost Famous podcast. Today, Ben and I are going to be breaking down the Fantasy Suites episode of Joey's season. Ben, what's your overall take on this episode?
Every single human involved in this season up to this point is an emotional, romantic wreck. They yeah. have no clue what to do next. None of them, Joey included. I'll say this. He is a spiral of chaos and confusion and emotion. And I don't think we've seen what we're seeing at this point in the season in a long time, where yeah. there is, I still think, only two women that yeah. will be there. I mean, like, obviously be there in the end, but like really only two women that this is going to be the real deal with.
Yeah.
But I think he's so into all three women. I think all three women are into him, that this is like pulling at my heartstrings from being in it before and having a similar situation, really.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to think about a finale that would have been as not knowing what's going to happen, like for like the lead probably was just like, I would say
Peter's season.
Okay. Peter. There you go. Peter.
Probably the last time I would think back on like the kind of the same level of my goodness.
Indecisiveness, but like, I don't want to call it indecisiveness.
No, I don't. I think that's a wrong word, Ashley. Yeah, okay. I do. I don't think we can
too much love for both people.
Yeah. I don't think you can criticize. Remember, I don't think you can criticize somebody for feeling this way at the end. It is not indecisiveness. It's not cold feet. It's not knowing what you want. It's
wanting both.
It's having everything. It's like, I have the most amazing people here with me. And the women are going, this is the most amazing guy. And it makes it so much harder. And it makes it so much better to watch. And I think that's what we love about this show.
Yeah, it's great. It's really edge of your seat right now. I'm nervous. And I haven't been nervous for a while. Like, I'm always like, you know me, I'm always like, you know what? The person's going to get heartbroken. They're going to get over it. They're going to become the bachelor, bachelorette. They're going to go into paradise. They're going to be fine. Mm. But right now I'm like actually like quite nervous because this is like, it feels like real love with him and Kelsey and him with Daisy. Let me tell you that I started out the episode when he's crying about the fact that, like, you know, his biggest fear again is not being chosen back. And I'm like, why is this man such a good crier? Like, why is he's such an emotional cry. Like, his cry makes you really sad.
I've never felt it. I mean, I don't love to see people cry. I will say that I mean, remember, I said it last week. I was there the week before this.
I know.
And sitting with Joey, I sat next to him. And like his reaction this week is not shocking to me. You could see it in his eyes when I was with him that this was like pulling him to a place that he didn't know where to go. This is an unfamiliar, uncharted territory for Joey and these women. But it is a season of The Bachelor. There is no prep for this. There is no like life lessons that you can learn to make you go into these situations and do them well. At this point, for the rest of the season, Joey is holding on by a thread because at the same time that he's telling these women he loves them, he's going to be saying goodbye to people that he loves.
And when you're saying this, I feel like you're saying this because you know Joey quite well. You guys have multiple conversations per week. I feel like we have Joey quotes coming out of your mouth.
It's not quotes from him. More of quotes from my experience on the show and watching him and getting to know him a little bit. I just don't, outside of everything else, I really love that we have a season that this is existing in.
Okay,
I know it hurts. It hurts all the people involved. But I'm really glad that we're watching this and we're being like, this is real. Okay. Mm-hmm. So say whatever happens at the end, like say that whoever he's with, it doesn't work out, right? Like for whatever reason, life brings itself and they find themselves not working out. What we'll always do is look back on Joey's season and be like, but we felt it. And I think that's a huge win for us.
Yeah. That's kind of like Caitlin's season.
Caitlin. Yes. Good point.
Like we still think about Caitlin and Sean 9 years later.
Yeah, I don't think they do, but we do.
Okay. Let's go like into the step by step. The first one, the first date's with Rachel, and I don't know the real order of these dates this week, and I'm really interested to know, because Rachel's is the throwaway. It was meant to be first for us to see because it's just, we can't compare it to the other two. It could be in a totally separate episode. Not to say that he doesn't like her. I like her. I know that he does. And I know that he even said he's falling in love with her, but he never said it to her face, right? That's like kind of like what he says to the camera.
I feel like he says something along the lines of, I'm falling for you. I don't remember a moment where he actually admitted his love to her.
Yeah, because it's so much different than the feelings of when he admits loving feelings towards the other two that I looked back on it and I was like, wait, did he actually say it to her? Did he just say it to the screen? Anyway, well, it isn't without a little bit of drama though, because she ends up, they jump from that sky, you know, whatever you want to call it, a very high diving board, and she really messes up her jaw. I feel like she like whacks her face really bad to the point where she thinks that maybe her jaw's broken. So they go and spend some time in the hospital instead of who knows what they would have been doing. But you know what? I feel like Evan Bass would tell you that sometimes a hospital date can be a good thing. It's quite vulnerable. Yeah. And it's like one of those moments in life where you're like, wow, I really didn't want to ever be here with you, but here we are. And it's kind of more real life than anything you're going to experience on the show.
Maybe a little boring note here.
Yeah. I was curious about how in the world did the show get clearance to film in a hospital so quickly?
Yeah, I was wondering about that. I was also wondering, like, okay, so since they're on a show, like, and they're at the ER, do they get bounced ahead of everybody else? Like, we can't, like, wait in the ER waiting room for 3 hours to be seen.
Yeah, like, what was going on? I want to see the waiting room. I want to see them just sitting there. It looks like it hurts. You can tell that it shook her. Yeah. You also know that this is the last thing she wanted. She did not want to be hurt and spending this day, you know, away from their activities. But they do bounce back. I just don't feel it, Ashley.
Yeah, I know.
Like, I like her and I like him. I like them together. I just don't feel it like I feel it with Daisy and Kelsey. And I don't know if I can put, and maybe you can help me, I can't necessarily put my finger on it, other than the fact that maybe in my mind all season, I've just built up that it's going to be Daisy or Kelsey in the end.
It could be.
And nobody else is really, like, everybody else is just kind of playing for second and thirds.
Mm-hmm. Well, for me, the conversation between the two of them is always about, like, can she get vulnerable? Is she open enough? And it's like, okay, I'm tired of talking about it. Let's just see it in action. How many times are they going to say open and vulnerable and honest? And I'm just like, let's have a conversation that is about something that is open, vulnerable, and honest, but isn't about saying those words over and over again.
Because we really haven't seen that. I mean, we've seen
them
kind of
talking about her dad. Remember when
But like, we've seen them touch on it, but they bring it up, but there is no, there is no kind of follow up where emotions start getting, you know, expressed and they start sharing with each other their dreams and what they want in a relationship. Yeah. And you don't see that.
Like, tell me a story. It doesn't have to be a sad story. A sob story. Just like, let's see a story.
Let's see where you're at as a couple. So, they do go to the overnight. I would say that was something I was surprised about. I think after the day date, I was curious to see if they would actually go to an overnight or not.
Oh, I thought for sure because they needed the extra time.
That's fair. I think I'm just waiting to see how this ends. So I was just wondering when this relationship was going to end, if it was going to end at a, you know, overnight. But what by them going to an overnight, what it does for me is it shows me that Joey is more into this than I think I'm giving him credit for.
Especially in the morning. I thought they seemed like they had a pretty nice, like, intimate conversation there.
I think I'm misreading this whole situation because I'm thinking, oh, Joey, you know, Joey knows that it's, he doesn't know what he wants yet, maybe, but he knows that it's Daisy or Kelsey.
Yeah.
But by him saying, no, we're going to do this thing tonight, like, we're going to go to an overnight, we're going to take more time together, it makes me have to take a step back and be like, yeah, he's more into this than I thought he was. Mm-hmm. So I have to take that into consideration.
Yeah. Okay, let's move on to the Kelsey date, which is just everything. Like, that date was, it was so many feelings. So much, like, joy and happiness and lightness, and I loved feeling that. And she was so cute and giddy when she was excited about telling him that she's in love with him. And it just felt good to watch.
Yeah. Overnights are so unique because you do have kind of the ones that maybe don't hit the emotional mark that, you know, you expect. And that's what I'd put Rachel's in. Again, I could be completely wrong on this, and I'm very willing to say, you know what? Maybe it's the two of them at the end and I'll be shocked and it will be, the most shocking season ever. And I'll love it still. Like, it's great. But you have those not overnights. You also have the overnights that are very, like, stressful, kind of like Daisy's, right? She's very nervous about this. Mm-hmm. This is a big deal. It's hard to process what's happening. It's hard to process the week and that he's kind of navigating this whole thing. And then you have the overnights that just feel natural. Like, yes, I am so excited to have an evening with you doing whatever it is we choose to do. But you and I having this evening together is so exciting for me. That's Kelsey's. We get all three this season. We get, at least in my opinion, the one that doesn't feel like it's there. We get the one that's, like, very nervous and stressful, Daisy's. Mm-hmm. And then we get the one that's like, hey, it's just you and I hanging out. we're going to do. She even says this quote. She goes, I get to spend the evening with my boyfriend. And it feels like, yeah, it's easy for them. Mm-hmm. So it's so natural.
Mm-hmm. But let's also say that they wanted to freak her out by setting her up with Leslie before the
Such
date.
Such a setup.
I did like the fact that they were able to bond over losing their mom early in life. So I think that they set them up for that reason, but they also set them up because they were like, I think Kelsey's feeling too good about this. Let's put some doubt in her mind. And I don't think the doubt creeped in much during the date, but of course they're going to let, you know, she gets home from the date. She's probably even more emotionally attached to him after the fantasy suite. And then that simmers in her mind that Leslie said, I went to a fantasy suite. I thought in that moment it was me. I was 100% sure. And then after, and then it wasn't me. So just always remember, like, be hopeful, but don't be like overly confident.
Mm. It's hard. It's such a weird week where you are connecting on a level you haven't yet, because no matter what, cameras aren't there. So like you are letting your guard down in many ways, some physically, some emotionally, you know, but you're hanging out in a different environment than you have. Also at the same time, things are said behind those doors that are not said other places. It's always interesting to me to see the confidence of people coming out of it, because I do think there's a world where you genuinely try your best not to express emotion and not to lead somebody on, but you're telling all of them, like, a life with you would be great. This is super fun. I'm so glad we get this time. And you don't mean to be leading them on, but you also don't know what's going to be happening next. And so you're saying whatever you're feeling at the time. It feels like to me, Ashley, they did set her up to have a little doubt. 100%. Totally makes sense. And I also think it makes me think she's the one in the end, because I don't think they would do that unless she was going to be the one chosen. But I don't know if they know that at this point.
Or they're trying to foreshadow another Leslie situation where we're all like quite certain. She seems quite certain and then it's not. But wait, let's just go back. Just because you said there's so many things that happen behind the closed doors that we don't see. Well, they made sure that Rachel, who ended up saying, I love you, or I'm falling in love with you, whatever the difference is, behind the closed doors of the fantasy suite, she said it there in private. And they were like, okay, but in the morning, you're going to sit down and you're going to tell everybody that that's what you said.
Yeah.
There's nothing like having a clean space. I can't say that I have it a ton with a toddler, but when I do, it's magical. And I also love it when I can add a little bit of my own sort of favorite candle, favorite scent, favorite throw blanket, you know, just express your personal style while the space is perfectly clean. Well, that's where Clorox Scentiva comes in, because Clorox have these clean scents that'll fit your vibe. With coconut, grapefruit, or lavender, you can discover your own signature scent. It's clean, so it's that trusted clean that you know that you get with Clorox, and it's captivating with scents that just can speak to you. With a powerful, clean, and refreshing scent, Clorox Scentiva cleans like Clorox and feels like confidence. Get yours now at a retail store near you. Diaper duty. It's the adventure no one warns you about when you're expecting, right? Well, fear not. Pampers Swaddlers features a blowout barrier at the back waist that helps prevent up to 100% of leaks, even blowouts. Not only are Pampers Swaddlers total game changers, they have the hottest baby gift trend for 2024, the Pampers Diaper Stash, an online diaper fund where friends and family can contribute a group gift so that your diaper stockpile never runs out. I love this idea. Here's how it works. You create a diaper stash account, share it with your tribe, watch the stash grow, gift it to the parents, and voila. They use the stash funds to snag Pampers diapers and wipes anywhere, anytime. It's not just a gift. It's a stash of joy. ensuring that those parents to be are stocked up without the guesswork. So whether you're a parent in the trenches or the ultimate gift guru, make 2024 the year of leak-free happiness. Pamper Swaddlers and the Diaper Stash, because parenting should be an extraordinary journey, not a messy one.
Ashley, is it true that some contestants have cashed in their 401k to afford a new wardrobe for The Bachelor?
I mean, you do need a lot of ball gowns when you think about it. Where did you hear that rumor, Ben?
Oh, Smart Money Happy Hour. It's a podcast where two money experts, Rachel Cruz and George Camel, talk totally unfiltered about life, pop culture, and how to afford it all with 90s nostalgia and reality TV fandom mixed in, of course.
So, like, how to budget for a hot date in Malta, like Joey went on?
Yeah. Or how to baby step your way to being a millionaire before you're 35.
Oh, okay. I'm looking at this episode on how much people spend on dating apps. One guy is spending $499 a month.
He should really apply for the Bachelorette.
Or this one episode, which is what our Amazon purchase history says about us.
Why don't you just go and tap that subscribe button, Ashley?
Say less. This is really, really interesting. So to check it out, you can search Smart Money Happy Hour and listen wherever you get your podcasts. Just search Smart Money Happy Hour and hit that subscribe button, which I just did. Your wallet and your next road trip will thank you.
Hi, everyone. This is Rachel Zoe with the Climbing in Heels podcast. We recently sat down with a few recipients of the Botox Cosmetic, Onobotulinum Toxin A, and iFund Women grants at South by Southwest, thanks to Botox Cosmetic. Take a listen to our conversation. It's so good.
What advice would you give to upcoming like female entrepreneurs or just already sort of established trying to survive still?
I literally joke with my staff and we always are saying, oh, you want to be an entrepreneur? You want to be broke all the time and working 24/7? Ooh.
Yeah, but
so,
look at you.
Yeah, right? But I'm here. So the advice that I give is, and I coined this, and I believe I said it on my TED Talk, that your passion follows you. You cannot follow your passion. So my advice is to let your passion follow you, get out of your own way, and never stop and never settle.
This episode was brought to you by Botox Cosmetic. Learn more at BotoxCosmetic.com and talk to your specialist to see if Botox Cosmetic is right for you. For full prescribing information, including boxed warning, call 877-351-0300 and follow the Climbing in Heels podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe where you listen to your podcast.
I want to kind of skip forward then here with what you were just saying there and say, I wonder if the note, how much it hints back to the fantasy suite or how much it hints to her doubts. I think it'd be one of two. I think it can be the motion kind of flowing through her and overwhelming her and her having all these concerns and questions because her feelings are so strong. Or it could be something that was said in the fantasy suite that she's holding on to. And now she has a few, like maybe he did say, hey, you're the one at the end.
Yeah.
And then there's a few days removed and she's going, if he said that, he better have meant it. Like he better have meant that. If not, like, and I've got to confront him about it. Cause right now I'm tail spinning thinking about him going on another date after me. And he said yes to that date. Why would he say yes to that date if I am the one in the end? Like, it's going to be one of those two, I think.
Yeah, especially since there was that voiceover where she says, I just don't want, I want to leave now if it's not going to be me or something along those lines. And what I'm scared about is that she's going to go up to him and like, just play it a little bit wrong. Just like, it's not wrong, but you know, it's kind of like a Sean Booth move. Let's make this theme a theme. Kind of like, if it's not me, you got to tell me it's me right now. You know what I mean? I'm afraid that she's going to go up to him and say, if it's not me, let me go now. And then it's like, okay, well, you know that this is part of the process. Like you can't do that. Like, you know, he's going to eliminate, we're supposing, Rachel. And then you just got to get through one more week. But yeah. I'm really scared about like her just saying like, I can't do it any longer. If it's not me, I'm leaving.
Yeah, it is. That's a shampoo scenario. It's kind of the ultimatum that you don't want to place on somebody, especially when he has no options there. Like, he can't be like, no, you have to stay because you are the one.
Yeah, he can't do that.
He can't do it. It's the format of the show. It's why this last few weeks gets messy, I think. You really do feel like you're holding on by a thread to every relationship you have, because even the people you're most confident in are now starting to have doubt, and they're starting to ask you questions like, well, if it's me, then why are you going on other fantasy suite dates? Mm-hmm. And you're like, right. I don't really know. I don't have a good answer for that.
Because I have to. It's the formula.
Yeah. Like,
sorry.
I'm still signed up for a show. Yes. I'm still on a show, and this is how the show works. And I don't really have another option. And so can you like forget that I did this? Ashley, in your perfect world here, and this is a question fans ask every season, they'll give Joey criticism for this. I know they will. It happens every year to every lead, Bachelorette or Bachelor. You're down to the final three. It's fantasy suite week. Say you know who you're choosing. You're like so convinced. What is an option that you could do? Like, could you just say no to all three? Could you just not go to any fantasy suite? Do you say yes to all three? Do you go to two, not three? You say goodbye to one? Like, what is the best option here that fans want to see if they know that you're convinced?
The closest option is kind of what Colton did. I know that Cassie was like, I'm leaving. But he was like, okay, I'm ending the show now. No, like, I'm leaving. I'm done with this. I'm following her.
Yeah. I think Colton's situation was a little unique.
And we found out that there was more layers. But then let's also just talk about how I do feel like producers really wanted to use that fear of Joey's, that the person that he would want to be with would not choose him. And I just think that this was the best way of doing something, was like harnessing on her like worry that Leslie instilled in her, and then just like messing with his brain somehow.
I am confused, and we'll move on past this to Daisy's date here in just a second. I am a little bit confused, and I hesitate to say this because I don't want to criticize somebody for being honest about where they're at, and I think Joey's doing that. I am a little confused on how this insecurity continues to seep in every week right now, because he has three women that are very, very convincing that they will be there with him in the end. Like, he is getting the validation he needs. These women are very into him. They're giving him all the signs. Now, you know, insecurities are weird. Sometimes they don't need to make sense to the outside world because, you know, they're internal. And I know that he's living in that and holding on to that. But at this point now, outside of Charity's experience, because I think he's way removed from that. Like, I don't know. I really don't know how much that still affects him, honestly. Mm-hmm. Like, what is it in his life, or what is it through this process that has made him think that any of these women are going home? I have seen no hints at it. Zero hints until this week.
They're trying.
It's showing a little bit of relatability. But I think he really feels it. Maybe he's been convinced that he feels it more than he actually is. And I'm wondering if this note that Kelsey wrote will like kind of spark that up in him.
Also, it's not that scary. It says we need to talk. It's not like the scariest.
Oh, that would be the scariest thing.
You think that's the scariest of all of them?
Oh, my goodness.
What if she's like, I just wanted to talk because like, I miss you so much. I just wanted to sit down with you. Maybe.
Sure. And I'd be and that sounds like something my wife would do when she calls me. She's like, hey, we got to talk when I get home. And I'm like, about what? What's happening? Like, tell me more.
My dad does that. He goes, I need to speak with you. Like, he'll text me that. I'm like, are you kidding me? What the hell does that mean?
Yeah, and give me more context.
I start freaking out like when he answers the phone, and he's like, I just wanted to tell you that I had this piece of mail. And I was like, what?
I had a good piece of pizza today. You're like, stop. Yeah. You cannot do that anymore. Like, you have to give me some context for what you're asking me, because my mind always, we've talked about that, both of our minds always go to the worst case scenarios. Yeah. Like, give me the benefit of the doubt here. Mm-hmm. So I don't know why she just says we need to talk. Why didn't she say, hey, Joey, I'm missing you and I can't wait to see you, but we need to talk.
Well, yeah, we know that. We know why she couldn't say something reassuring beforehand. She needs to instill all the fear. But there's also one other insecurity that Joey has that we've seen between his two seasons, and that gets brought up on the Daisy date. So we'll go over to the Daisy date where he discusses with her that he's just very worried that somebody is really going to get to know him and he's not going to be enough for him. He's not going to be that great of a guy. He has this perpetual insecurity that he's just not as good as what people think he is. And I still get a little concerned. I'm like, Joey, what are you like in a relationship? Like, why are you so scared? Because now you're scaring me. Maybe you do have this dark side.
Yeah. I mean, it's a very valid insecurity. And in fact, I think there's a personality type that just has that intrinsic, like, I'm a fraud mentality, right? Imposter syndrome all the time through everything, especially when you're the bachelor. When you're the bachelor, you mean...
It makes sense as the bachelor.
Yeah, Joey goes from, like, what, living with his sister in Philly to then being the bachelor in nice suits and, like, having 30 women chase that. Now, granted, I'm sure Joey's never hurt to get good attention, and he deserves it all. He's a great dude. But he's probably at moments looking back on his life and be like, outside of this experience, guys, like, this is not what my life looks like, and that concerns me. That scares me. I had this conversation when I was on the show with the final two, was, do you realize that life outside of this is not this? Like, I don't, you know, I'm in bed at 9:30 and I like don't go on a lot of vacations. And yes, you know, having a following on Instagram does help people get you on vacation more and have more of an exciting life. But for the most part, I'm still a software salesman and I still sit at a cubicle in this small little office and I get paid like a little bit above minimum wage. So just understand that all of this is amazing. It's not who I am. It's not what my life looks like. I would love to provide everything that, you know, the person that I love desires, but there's going to be that sacrifice. There's a story, Ashley, that came up with me when I was doing my season. Uh-huh. And I have a friend whose parents had been married for a long time. And I'll never forget this conversation that we had. They were very wealthy. At this point in their life, they were living in this beautiful big home. We would always go out by the pool. And one night I was over there for dinner, sitting around the table, and they started talking about how for the first like 8 years of their life, they were living in this like...
Their life together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, their life together, their marriage together. So kind of up until their like early 30s, they were living in this small little condo in downtown San Francisco. And it was like in this really tough area. And they were talking about the food that they had to eat for dinner at night because it was the only thing they could afford. And that's a lot of people's stories. I understand that. But what it showed, I remember this feeling and I was like, wait, now this is where they live. And they've been in love then and now. Like, they're in love in both places. They love each other. They would go through, you know, anything as long as they were together. And that's the kind of love you're looking for. And I think it's kind of love that it's a hard thing to get when you're on this show is, are you cool? Are we still going to do this thing? Do you love me even if our life does not look like this?
Yeah, that's a good point.
And so it's that insecurity. I also think that Joey is a very humble human. Mm-hmm. I don't think he has a very like narcissistic, egotistical high view of himself, which I think is a very admirable quality. I think it's a very good quality to have. And I think some would go, oh, he has to have a dark side. I don't think that's what he's saying at all. I think people in the Bachelor world tried to go, Ben, there must be a dark side, right? Yeah. Oh, he has this dark side thing going on. It's like, maybe I do. I'd love to have a little bit of a dark side. I would love to find that dark side if it exists. But my point always was, like, you just have to understand that this is not my life. It's not that I have a hidden secret. It's that this is not my life, and I want to know that you're in it no matter what.
Yeah. Well, he did give a specific this time. He said, in my last relationship with this woman in Hawaii, she told me that I didn't make her feel special enough. Mm. And that could be something that he like wasn't mature enough in the relationship at the point to give her everything that she needed. But also, like, maybe they just weren't a compatible match.
Yeah. I don't even know what that means. I hear that, like, you don't make me feel special enough. I have no clue what that means.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how to do that as a partner. Like, I wouldn't know how to, other than to support my wife well and to like make her feel beautiful and go on dates and, you know, look at her and sit down with her for dinner and listen to her when she wants to tell me a story. Like, I don't know how to make any other human feel anything differently than what they're feeling about themselves.
Well, I heard recently this week, I'm not sure if it was you that said it, that like somebody was in marriage counseling. Oh, okay. It wasn't you. Somebody was in marriage counseling and the counselor said, if you could, what are the three things that will make marriage just feel better for you, make you feel more special, I suppose, if you implemented it this week? And it was just like, hug more, go to bed at the same time together, just like, even if they're just going to lie there on their phone just to be close and stuff like that. And we don't know whether or not this woman was vocal about how to make her feel special. But I guess if Joey was ignoring the things that she told him would make her feel better.
That's a lesson learned, though. Yeah. Right? That's not like a, that's not a character flaw. That's not something that like he wants to continue doing. I'm just saying, if I enter into any romantic relationship and the person's like, what I need from you is for you to make me feel special. I said, okay, how can I do that? And they're like, just make me feel special.
Oh,
like,
yeah, of course.
I'm just lost. Like, I've got nothing.
I was just saying, hopefully the person would be explanatory as to what would make them feel good.
I do not have that trait.
Neither you and I are very concerned about Joey making people feel special or Joey being a good partner. Okay, so let's continue with the Daisy date. My biggest complaint about this date was that there was like too much making out and not enough talking.
Yeah. Well, I wonder too, I don't know Daisy
just being
as a human,
you know,
but Sandra's advice to Daisy was to spice things up a little bit. I think you can summarize it with like, hey, you can find ways to spice this up a little bit.
Ben, you caught me. You're right. That was supposed to be the theme.
It was the theme. Like, Daisy, you and Joey have great conversation. You connect on great levels, right? You have this playful relationship. But I think Daisy left that conversation with Sandra being like, I'm going full force into
sex it up.
Yeah. Like, let's make out. Yeah. Like, I want to, like, I mean, it was set up with like a shower scene.
Yeah. Like, that was their date, basically. They rode the ATV for like 30 seconds and then they just showered.
Like, let's go shower. It's like, okay, I mean, cool. Hey, that's fine, right? Ashley, you got to tell me if I'm just a pervert. But there's a line that Daisy says and it makes me laugh. And I could just be like a middle school boy here and like not knowing like and making everything sexual. But there's a line that Daisy says that talking about the relationship, but then she says, and it's growing in all the right ways. And they do a slow-mo camera down to like their crotch line.
Oh, so, okay.
And I'm like, that's either very ironic or this show has weird minds, but it made me giggle. I don't know if anybody else recognized this. It did make me giggle. And I don't like there is an innuendo there.
Of course. I didn't pick up on it. Okay. I don't know why. Now I feel like...
So I am a weirdo.
No, I feel too innocent.
I am. I get it. I knew I would be. I just had to say it.
No, knowing Daisy's sense of humor, I think she said it on purpose.
Okay. It was very quick, but like she's talking and then they do this like slow-mo down to them in the shower at a sight line that's like, none of us really care to see that anyways. This isn't why we're watching the show, but she's saying this in the background as it's talking. I'm like, I wonder if that's just one of those moments where an editor was behind the scenes being like, perfect. So good.
No, this is, everybody is involved with that. I'm once again watching this in my kid's playroom, like with him, like playing with cars in the background. So like, I may not have picked up on like the sexual stuff, the puns, but I know producers and I know that like they pulled her aside to just do a little in the moment interview. And then they're like, would you say that it's growing in all the right directions? And then she was like, I would say it's growing in all the right directions.
Just dirty, dirty humans.
There's nothing like having a clean space. I can't say that I have it a ton with a toddler, but when I do, it's magical. And I also love it when I can add a little bit of my own sort of favorite candle, favorite scent, favorite throw blanket, you know, just express your personal style while the space is perfectly clean. Well, that's where Clorox Scentiva comes in, because Clorox have these clean scents that'll fit your vibe. With coconut, grapefruit, or lavender, you can discover your own signature scent. It's clean, so it's that trusted clean that you know that you get with Clorox, and it's captivating with scents that just can speak to you. With a powerful, clean, and refreshing scent, Clorox Scentiva cleans like Clorox and feels like confidence. Get yours now at a retail store near you. Diaper duty. It's the adventure no one warns you about when you're expecting, right? Well, fear not. Pampers Swaddlers features a blowout barrier at the back waist that helps prevent up to 100% of leaks, even blowouts. Not only are Pampers Swaddlers total game changers, they have the hottest baby gift trend for 2024, the Pampers Diaper Stash, an online diaper fund where friends and family can contribute a group gift so that your diaper stockpile never runs out. I love this idea. Here's how it works. You create a diaper stash account, share it with your tribe, watch the stash grow, gift it to the parents, and voila. They use the stash funds to snag Pampers diapers and wipes anywhere, anytime. It's not just a gift. It's a stash of joy. Ensuring that those parents-to-be are stocked up without the guesswork. So whether you're a parent in the trenches or the ultimate gift guru, make 2024 the year of leak-free happiness. Pampers Swaddlers and the Diaper Stash. Because parenting should be an extraordinary journey, not a messy one.
Ashley, is it true that some contestants have cashed in their 401k to afford a new wardrobe for The Bachelor?
I mean, you do need a lot of ball gowns when you think about it. Where did you hear that rumor, Ben?
Oh, Smart Money Happy Hour. It's a podcast where two money experts, Rachel Cruz and George Camel, talk totally unfiltered about life, pop culture, and how to afford it all, with 90s nostalgia and reality TV fandom mixed in, of course.
So, like, how to budget for a hot date in Malta, like Joey went on?
Yeah. Or how to baby step your way to being a millionaire before you're 35.
Oh, okay. I'm looking at this episode on how much people spend on dating apps. So one guy is spending $499 a month.
He should really apply for The Bachelorette.
Or this one episode, which is what our Amazon purchase history says about us.
Why don't you just go and tap that subscribe button, Ashley?
Say less. This is really, really interesting. So to check it out, you can search Smart Money Happy Hour and listen wherever you get your podcasts. Just search Smart Money Happy Hour and hit that subscribe button, which I just did. Your wallet and your next road trip will thank you.
Hi, everyone. This is Rachel Zoe with the Climbing in Heels podcast. We recently sat down with a few recipients of the Botox Cosmetic, Onobotulinum Toxin A, and iFund Women grants at South by Southwest, thanks to Botox Cosmetic. Take a listen to our conversation. It's so good.
What advice would you give to upcoming like female entrepreneurs or just already sort of established trying to survive still?
I literally joke with my staff and we always are saying, oh, you want to be an entrepreneur? You want to be broke all the time and working 24/7? Ooh.
Yeah, but
so,
look at you.
Yeah, right? But I'm here. So the advice that I give is, and I coined this, and I believe I said it on my TED Talk, that your passion follows you. You cannot follow your passion. So my advice is to let your passion follow you, get out of your own way, and never stop and never settle.
This episode was brought to you by Botox Cosmetic. Learn more at BotoxCosmetic.com and talk to your specialist to see if Botox Cosmetic is right for you. For full prescribing information, including boxed warning, call 877-351-0300 and follow the Climbing in Heels podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe where you listen to your podcast.
Yeah, this date is definitely a more physical date. The chemistry and connection is as strong as I've felt the whole time. There is no lagging for me with the Kelsey and Daisy date.
Oh, see, there was for me. Wow. So okay. I was like, oh, I think this is in order. I think the dates are in order because when he saw Daisy And when she was like, I forgot something, or like one more thing I have for you.
Oh, I do agree with this.
He didn't seem that excited about it. He was like, okay, ready now?
Yes.
It looks like he was like, I'm not ready to move on from the Kelsey date.
You're right. And I did pick up on that. I knew exactly what you're going to say when you said it was, yes. She goes, there's one more. And it was that, like, it was very cute and very like kind of spur of the moment. But yeah, his response was like, all right, cool. We're good now. Like, it felt like it wasn't what he wanted at the time.
I know. I think he got there. Like, they got hot and heavy and all that. Sure. But initially, I don't think he was in the right mindset.
Yeah. Well, Fantasy Suite Week is exhausting. Yeah. You know, you're going back to back to back. You're not getting any sleep. No matter what is going on in the Fantasy Suite room, it is more connectionable than any other week. At date three, you're pretty much like, I cannot wait to get this over with, because I think the show typically gives you almost like 2 days to rest.
I was going to say, Ben, can you give us a timeline? I'm sure you've done this before, but please refresh all of our memories. Do you have back-to-back Fantasy Suite days, or do you have in-between days?
You usually get done with, it's exhausting. So you have a Fantasy Suite, day, spend the night, wake up, usually early, you know, have breakfast. You're usually, I would say, leaving that date at 10 a.m.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're leaving the date at 10 a.m. You go and do your ITMs. So you do the interviews till lunch. You have lunch. After lunch, typically you're doing like pickups till like 5. Okay, so like you're either doing media interviews, you're doing like behind the scenes like shots, you're doing B-roll, you're doing anything that like that episode needs as the lead. As a contestant, you're kind of like free. You're not really doing much. You're just kind of chilling after that.
Yeah.
But the lead, and you're full grind until like dinner time. Then after dinner time, you're going to sleep and you're waking up the next morning and starting all over again, right? Like very early again. So you don't really get you do get a day.
At least you have one buffer day where you're not seeing someone.
Those days were more exhausting for me because you're thrown around and you're getting tossed around in 1,000 directions and asked 1,000 questions about all these dates. And by the time you're at date three, you're getting asked questions now about the week and your feelings and the comparisons and all those things. You're so tired. So is it weird that he's kind of over it? No. Does it say anything about their relationship? I don't think it does, because he did get into it at some point, but he's probably like, I'd prefer just to not have any dates this week. I'm so tired. I'm so tired.
Okay. Well, I'm just glad that you have one day in between, so it's not like you're going from one Fantasy Suite to the Fantasy Suite.
You just couldn't. I mean, there's just, you couldn't.
Would you rather that? You just bang them out without any interviews? Bang them out? Whoops.
Yeah, literally. Goodness, Ashley. Holy cow.
Whoops. Okay. Oh, my Moving goodness. On. Anything else about Daisy's date?
No, you picked up on it. I do think it didn't lack. I'll go back and I'll say Kelsey and Daisy did not set there's relationships back for me. I do think there was that weird moment that felt like off a little bit. It could have just been off, but I'll leave Daisy's date going 100% in my mind. If I was a betting man, it's Daisy and Kelsey next week. Rachel's going home in a very sad exit because I think she's great, but I do think she's going home. I think Daisy and Kelsey will be there at the end.
I think he's going to eliminate Rachel not in a rose ceremony, because I don't think we've got any teases of a rose ceremony with three girls standing there.
Yeah, I don't think he I think rose ceremonies at this point are very optional, and I don't think they're necessary. I don't think they're needed. I think the only thing we might see is, you know, him talk to whoever he's sending home. They go home, and then the two others show up to a rose ceremony. He's like, hey, you're here. Like, and then my favorite part of every season happens. You know what that is?
Kneeling.
No, the very awkward three-person hug with the two people at the very end and the lead giving this like, hey, we're still in it together, like very awkward moment.
Yeah. Yeah, that's very awkward.
Where everybody stands around and you still cheers together, but you're looking at the other person and you're like, we're way past this. Like, I don't, I like you as a human. I don't want to see you here. Like, this is very awkward for me. Yeah. This is my boyfriend. The other person's going, this is my boyfriend. Like, It's a very weird scenario to navigate.
It's very weird. I don't know. I don't know if I foresee that moment even. Because we haven't seen anything like that. We haven't seen these girls in dresses. They keep just fast forwarding to the finale scene, which is the last point I really want to make on this podcast. Is there have been some spoiler-esque things that have come out over the past couple weeks.
Okay.
From multiple people in the franchise. I'm not going to call out who they might be. And there's multiples.
Yeah.
And Jesse's voiceover made me think that they're almost like playing into that. Because he said, like, you think you know what's going to happen? Like, you don't.
Okay.
Am I overanalyzing that line? Because I really do. No. In my soul, I think I know who he ends up with, okay? But I don't think it's going to be a conventional happy ending. Because they keep teasing that it's not going to be. And maybe the tease is just so good. But Jesse also says that we've never seen anything like that. Oh, no. Even Joey himself says this couldn't have possibly happened before, has it?
No.
He says that.
I think Joey saying it holds a different weight for me. You know, remember how you and I started to complain a few years ago about how the show overhyped everything? Like they were like the most dramatic season ever. You know,
the only thing that really lived up was Hannah Brown moving the podium, and then the whole we in the windmill, and then the fence, and then the fence jump. Those are like the things jump. That are like iconic.
Yeah, exactly. Like 100%, right? So. I'm hoping the show isn't going back and falling back into that like kind of rhythm of over dramatizing for the public to stay and pay attention, because it ultimately the show loses the fans' trust, which I think is why people stop watching.
Yeah.
But with Joey saying it, I do think there's something that neither you nor I know that happens. My gut tells me it's not as big of a deal as what they're hyping it up to be. But I don't know that for certain. Like, I have no idea. I'm just saying I don't know what that could be. Like, I have no idea what could happen here in the final two that makes it something that's never happened before. But the show has surprised me. Every season that feels like there's something different that happens at the very end that, you know, really throws us for a loop. I just don't know what it could be.
It could be as simple but dramatic as the woman who doesn't get picked just having strange reaction.
Yeah, smacking him.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be cool.
That would be something that we've never seen before.
I don't see it with these two. I don't see it with these two. Who knows? It's going to keep us engaged and intrigued. Not like that we need anything to keep us engaged and intrigued this season. I think the fans are very happy with how the season's going. I'm getting more people than ever coming up to me being like, are you watching the season? What do you think happens with Joey? I do, you know, in my workout class that I take here, the hot Pilates at Duality in Denver, it's me, about three other dudes and 30 women. Like I know for the first time they're watching this season. I've been going here for 3-4 years.
Yeah.
This season, they're asking me more questions than ever. It's fun for me. They're very engaged this season.
Yeah. I got to see my best friend yesterday and she hasn't watched the show in years. And she was asking me a whole bunch of questions.
Yeah, it's great. It's really fun. Okay, Ashley, we are going to close out here. We do have a lot more content to get prepared for. We have a big week ahead of us. Obviously, we're going to continue the breakdown. The Bachelor season, we got Almost Good Advice, which has been a ton of fun and a big success for us. We have some great interviews coming out. So we do have a busy week in front of us. To kind of close out, I'm not going to share my opinion because I really don't have one necessarily and not one that I could speak to. What do you think this letter is intending and meaning? How do you think we see that whole letter situation play out? Is it being over-dramatized? Is it a big deal? Is it something that's very forgettable? Just what's your thoughts?
I think that if there's something between the two, between the two teases, the note will be the less dramatic event.
Okay.
I think it could simply just be Kelsey wanting just like another conversation, a little bit more affirmation.
Okay. That makes sense.
What about you?
I don't know. Like I said, I don't have an opinion really to speak on right now. I typically can formulate what I think it's going to be. I don't want to overanalyze it because it could be way more emotional than I expect, and it could be game-changing for the whole process. I will only say this. What if this is the thing that we're hearing Joey say? This has never happened before, right?
Yeah. Oh, but I think that we actually see his mouth move.
Oh, they're good at that, Ashley. Okay. They're good at that.
Maybe his back is turned, but he is present when they put that over.
I'm not saying, just don't leave it out. This could be the moment that changes everything.
Okay.
Who knows?
Now, next week we have Women Tell All, but I also think we're going to get more of this. I don't think it's going to be a full 2 hours, just based on Twitter, which is good. We love it. We love not having a big Women Tell All.
I can't watch 2 hours of Sydney and Maria fighting. It's not what I want to see.
We don't. We want a happy come together moment for everyone there. And that'll be it.
Don't we all? Okay. Hey, Ashley, it's been great. We're coming to the end of the season, which is sad in a lot of ways, but we do, as I mentioned, have a lot of good things coming your way here at the Almost Famous Podcast. The fun part about this time of the year is soon we'll start having these interviews with some of the people that are your favorites from this season, including Joey the Bachelor to, you know, the Marias and the Sydneys, hopefully, of the world. We're going to have great interviews coming out, getting more of a lay of the land of this season and the behind the scenes of everything going on. So we'll be back. But until next time, I've been Ben.
I've been Ashley. See you guys. Thank you.
Follow the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous Podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Ashley, is it true that some contestants have cashed in their 401k to afford a new wardrobe for The Bachelor?
I mean, you do need a lot of ball gowns when you think about it, Ben. Where did you hear this?
On Smart Money Happy Hour. It's a podcast where two money experts, Rachel Cruz and George Camel, talk totally unfiltered about life, pop culture, and how to afford it all, with 90s nostalgia and reality TV fandom mixed in, of course.
Ooh, you do not have to say more to get me into this. To check it out, you can search Smart Money Happy Hour and listen wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.
I've discovered the secret to turning diaper duty into pure parenting joy. Okay, well, that might be a stretch, but Pampers Swaddlers is truly the answer. They feature a blowout barrier at the back waist that helps prevent up to 100% of leaks, including even blowouts. And for 2024's hottest baby shower / sprinkle gift, it's the Pampers Diaper Stash. I am so for diapers for a baby shower. Our registry. This Pampers Diaper Stash is an online diaper fund where family and friends can contribute a group gift so that your diaper stockpile never runs out. Just create an account, share it, and then watch it grow, and then gift it. So easy. So whether you're a parent in the trenches or the ultimate gift guru, make 2024 the year of leak-free happiness with Pampers Swaddlers and the Pampers Diaper Stash.
Hi, everyone. This is Rachel Zoe with the Climbing in Heels podcast. We recently sat down with a few recipients of the Botox Cosmetic, Onobotulinum Toxin A, and iFund Women grants at South by Southwest, thanks to Botox Cosmetic. Take a listen to our conversation. It's so good.
What advice would you give to upcoming like female entrepreneurs or just already sort of established trying to survive still?
I literally joke with my staff and we always are saying, oh, you want to be an entrepreneur? You want to be broke all the time and working 24/7? Ooh.
Yeah, but
so,
look at you.
Yeah, right? But I'm here. So the advice that I give is, and I coined this, and I believe I said it on my TED Talk, that your passion follows you. You cannot follow your passion. So my advice is to let your passion follow you, get out of your own way, and never stop and never settle.
This episode was brought to you by Botox Cosmetic. Learn more at BotoxCosmetic.com and talk to your specialist to see if Botox Cosmetic is right for you. For full prescribing information, including boxed warning, call 877- 0300 and follow the Climbing in Heels podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe where you listen to your podcast.